From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Bob Kinzel, filling in for Mitch Wortley. It's Thursday, January 23rd, and here are today's headlines. Vermont's economy is doing great. That's according to economists hired by the state. During a briefing with Democratic lawmakers and Republican Governor Phil Scott yesterday, economist Tom Cavett said Vermont continues to enjoy one of the lowest unemployment rates in the nation. And he says the state stands out on one key measure of economic well-being.
Payroll job growth in Vermont in 7 of the last 8 months has grown at a faster rate year over year than the national. The last time that happened was 14 years ago.
The strong economy is good news for government coffers. Over the next 3 years, state general fund revenues are expected to rise $144 million over previous estimates. Chefs across Vermont found their names on an exciting menu yesterday morning, the 2025 James Beard Awards semifinalists. The awards recognize some of the nation's best talent in the food and beverage industry. Two Vermonters are on the list for the Northeast Best Chef Award, Avery Buck from Burlington's May Day, and Charlie Menard from Waitsfield's Canteen Creamery. And Burlington's Kara Tobin from Honey Road is a semifinalist for the fifth time, this year for Outstanding Restaurateur. Wolf Tree in White River Junction also has a spot on the list for Outstanding Bar. James Beard winners will be announced in June. Vermont is the only state in the country that requires annual inspections of all of its motor racetracks. That includes courses for motocross, cars and trucks, go-karts, and snowmobiles. Mike Bruno is co-owner of Devil's Bowl Speedway in West Haven. He says the state's regulations are more than 40 years old, and modern insurance policies do a better job at maintaining safety standards.
The racing businesses and the tracks and stuff have kind of outgrown the rules, and I just think that, you know, the state is putting themselves in a position where they're trying to police something that they really are having a hard time to police, to be honest with you.
A new report from the Office of Professional Regulation recommends that Vermont drop its state inspection program for racetracks. That's something lawmakers would have to approve. And authorities have released new information pertaining to the shooting death of a Border Patrol agent on Monday. The FBI says U.S. Border Patrol agent David Chris Mauland was involved in a traffic stop on Interstate 91 southbound in Coventry around 3:15 p.m. when he and a German national in the U.S. on a current visa were both killed in an exchange of gunfire. A third person was also injured and is being treated at an area hospital after being taken into custody, according to the FBI. The FBI's Albany office says dozens of agents are in the area, working with local and state law enforcement on this investigation. And coming up, housing can be difficult to find in Vermont, especially for refugees. A new program was created to make the process less opaque for Afghans who've recently moved to the Green Mountain State. More on that after this. On his first day back in office this week, President Trump signed an executive order suspending the United States Refugee Resettlement Program as of next Monday. In recent years, Vermont has positioned itself as a leader in that area, ranking among the top states per capita in the number of refugees arriving during 2023, according to federal data. And though the United States will stop admitting new refugees, there are still a handful of agencies and organizations helping the immigrants already here access social services or find housing. That includes hundreds of Afghans. Now, one of those families wants to make the state feel more like home by buying a house. And as Vermont Public's Adia Golson reports, they're trying out a new partnership intended to make that dream more achievable.
Oh, hey! How are you?
John Corbendy is obviously the head of the Corbendy family. And they are a big family, but a hardworking family.
The Kobandi family has 9 members. Parents Abdul and Sharfika and their 4 daughters and 3 sons all live in a 4-bedroom house in Burlington. Despite the tight squeeze, the family always has room to welcome guests with a table spread of grapes, oranges, nuts, and steaming tea. Still, this is a stark contrast from their old home in Afghanistan, which they were forced to flee in 2021 after the Taliban took control of the country. They had bedrooms for each person, a large kitchen where they would cook bread and pizza, and a yard with peach and apple trees. In Vermont, Sharfika Kobandi says the lack of room in the rental can pose some challenges. She describes her family's routine with the help of translator Soleiman Sourouche Rasoli.
We're 9 people living here and only 1 bathroom. So for example, like all of my children go to school, the morning that they go to school or college, they kind of line outside the bathroom door. They kind of like, you know, tell each other, hey, it's my turn, come on, I'm late.
Despite the change, they've still felt welcome in Vermont and have built what they feel is a great life for themselves here. And Sharfika says they want to take the next step by buying a house.
If you have your own home, like as a mother, you will be proud and you will also like have a peace of mind that, you know, when your children go to school, they can come back to your own house, feed them.
People coming in have a great drive to rebuild their lives.
That's Halil Anwari, who visited the Kobandi family with me. He's a program manager for the U.S. Committee of Refugees and Immigrants, a nonprofit that helps the displaced reestablish themselves here.
They see that through meaningful work, they have the chance to change their lives. Nothing embodies that value of having roots in a community more than having a home, a house, located inside that community.
However, as many Vermonters know, finding housing can be tedious, if not downright impossible, amid a massive shortage. And for many reasons, this process can be a lot more difficult for refugees like the Kobandi family.
What happens usually is that there are programs out there, but due to limitations on the parts of our clients in being able to deal with the systems efficiently, or sometimes language barriers. The services already out there is not accessible to them.
In late November, Anwari helped launch a new partnership between USCRI and the Champlain Housing Trust, which works to pave a smoother pathway to home ownership for Afghan refugees. They created a program to provide families with resources and home buying sessions translated into Dari and Pashto, making information about various aspects of home ownership more accessible, such as building credit or getting a mortgage. This effort opens the door for families to participate in Champlain Housing Trust's Home Ownership Equity Program, which provides buyers from households of color with an interest-free, forgivable loan up to $25,000. And CHT is working with banks to develop a more culturally appropriate loaning process aligned with Islamic law, which bans compound interest. Abdul, the father of the Kobandi family, says this newly available information and financial help is vital.
Because the price of a house for like 4 or like 500K is just too much for us. And since we are new here, we don't have that kind of money, obviously. But these programs are able to offer that kind of house or like those kind of houses for us at almost a half price.
Anwari, with the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, says making home ownership more accessible isn't just a humanitarian concern. He believes providing resources to families like the Kobanis is crucial to strengthening Vermont's economy.
Our manufacturing and our agricultural industry, most of the labor force consists of new American workers and laborers. Economic growth in Vermont is only achievable if we're able to provide safe housing to new members of our community, to new Vermonters coming in.
At the moment, funding constraints mean the housing program is only available for Afghan refugees. And Wari says the committee isn't commenting on policy changes under the Trump administration right now, including the executive order halting the National Resettlement Program, but he says his group is funded through the fiscal year. In the short term, they're making videos in Dari and Pashto to get the word out about the housing program, while working to make sure it's sustainable in the long term. For Vermont Public, I'm Adia Gostin.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Sophie Stevens, Howard Weiss-Tissman, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Bob Kinzel. Talk to you later.